House agrees, but y'all killed it tonight, y'all. Feeling that stuff right there. Give me that. All right. Focus. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So Josh asked me to talk, and he gave me a stanza from the poem to try to focus the talk. And I was like, okay. And then I went through the poem, and I read the entire poem. And I was like, yes, he gave me one of the best ones. All right. So without any further ado, before I even start saying anything else, let's check it out. I'll just read it to us. When we come to it, when we let the rifles fall from our shoulders and children dress their dolls in flags of truce, when landmines of death have been removed and the aged can walk into evenings of peace, when religious ritual is not perfumed by the incense of burning flesh and childhood dreams are not kicked awake by nightmares of abuse. So, it's one of the best ones, right? Decent. Which, by the way, quick show of hands, no extra credit, but have any of you like read through the entire thing since we started the series? Okay, cool. I highly recommend that you do it. It's good stuff. In this, Maya Angelou refers to three different generations of people. She refers to the younger generation playing with dolls, the older generation walking into evenings, and then she talks about the people who are letting the rifles fall from their shoulders. And most of the people in this room are old enough to bear arms legally. So if you chose to, if you wanted to, you could have a rifle. So her vision for what the future looks like has three different generations doing something. But unfortunately, all three of them don't seem natural. Kids playing with dolls seems natural. The aged walking seems pretty natural. But for many of us, letting rifles fall from our shoulders is a lot harder than what we would expect, all right? What I'm going to be focusing on in this talk is I'm going to be speaking to you rifle bearers, all right? Rifle bearers. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to do something really weird but cool, okay? And that is I'm going to invite you from now till I say stop to hold an invisible rifle. All right? You don't have to do it, but I'm inviting you to hold an invisible rifle in front of you. Now, normally, you know, you would do like this or something like that. We're not going to go that crazy with it. But I invite you from now until I say stop or until you get tired and you don't want to do it anymore to hold an imaginary rifle in front of you like this. And don't cheat. Like, if you're going like this and resting it on your legs, then you're cheating. All right? Don't cheat. You got to hold the rifle up. If you were to, you know, shoot the rifle, you have to hold it up like this. So it will come to an end. But I challenge you to try to do that as we proceed. Okay. So, as you're feeling weird, let me tell you what the focus of the talk is going to be about. What I hope to discuss and what I hope to bring up is how we handle personal conflict and how that affects our interactions with each other. Okay? So, this is all about how we handle conflict in ourselves and how we handle conflict with each other, okay? For most of the people in this room who are old enough to legally own and use rifles, some of you may have used them, may have shot something in your life. For the sake of those who don't or who haven't used rifles and all that kind of stuff, well, then I'm not going to keep focusing on physical rifles, and we're going to use it as a symbol, okay? So the symbol is going to be The rifle is going to represent something that gives you a false sense of security, something that you control, that makes you feel at peace, that makes you feel safe. And when you don't have it, well, then you feel it. You feel scared. You feel anxious because this thing that you control is no longer working right. And so if it's there and it's working right, then you're good. You're at peace. You feel safe. When it's gone, well, then that's when you start getting snappy. That's when you start getting anxious, when you start getting frustrated. And again, it's something that you can control. So it can't be God because you can't control God. He's wild thing. And so with that, I'm going to give you about 15 seconds to reflect on what are some things for you that would be your rifles. What would be your rifle? What would be your thing that you control or you think you control that makes you feel secure, and when it's not there, you feel fearful? So I'm going to give you 15 seconds to think about that. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You can lower your arms. Now, what some of you may have noticed is that even though you weren't holding anything, you were getting tired. Like, you weren't even holding any weight. You were just holding the weight of your arms, but you still felt it. You still felt this weight. Now, imagine if you were holding a real rifle, well, then there would be more weight added on top of your invisible weight that you already held. And for me, that's what's so fascinating about, I guess, our natural inclination to go against letting the rifles fall, is that it takes a lot of weight and a lot of stress to constantly be holding your rifles up. It takes a lot of work to hold a rifle and to be alert all the time and to constantly be vigilant, all right? And it doesn't, that's not fruitful life. It's not a great life to lead where you're constantly resorting to this thing that you control in order to be at peace. Okay? It's not a high quality life. And so one of the things that I'm learning is that God built us to be a certain way, and part of what God has built us to be is to be relaxed and to be chilled, all right? To be able to be at peace in all things. And so when we're relying and trusting that God is in control and he's doing well and he has our best, our well-being in mind and the well-being of all those around us, well, then we can relax and we can be so chill. You know, Adam and Eve were so chill that they didn't even need to wear clothes. You know what I mean? So it was just like they were that relaxed. Now, do we need to do that? No. But the point of all of the above is the rifles that you rely on, the rifles that you count on, affect how you interact with yourself. And what I have been doing as long as I can remember, and what many of you and a lot of my other friends often do, is if we're not actively working to be balanced and centered, then we end up shooting either at ourselves or shooting ourselves, okay, all the time. All right, so I'm going to give you an example of how I either shoot at myself or shoot myself sometimes. So an example is I'm late for class. I'm walking to whatever class it is, and there's a homeless woman on the side here. There's a lot of traffic in the street, so I can't cross to avoid her, so I'm going to have to walk past her. I'm walking past her, and as I'm walking past her, I notice that she's asleep. And I'm like, yes, I'm celebrating the fact that she's asleep, so I don't have to interact with her, and I don't have to deal with it. I don't want to deal with this complicated thing, all right? And then after I get past it, I'm like, you butthole, like, How awful of a person are you? You know, you had an opportunity to minister to someone, to be nice to someone, to care to someone, and you just walked right past. You celebrated the fact that you didn't have to do anything about it. What kind of a evil person? You awful, awful person. Shot at myself. Awful person. Okay? So, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know that many of you experience this on a regular basis countless times throughout the day, where you're dancing with yourself in this very weird way. Okay? Okay, so it's hard for me to resist, so I'm going to have to do this. Here enters Aikido. So with Aikido, for those of you who don't know, I've been studying a martial arts called Aikido, and it's a Japanese martial art, and in it, you're seeking to preserve the well-being of your attacker in spite of the fact that they're trying to attack you, all right, which is something that I read a lot about in a lot of the Christian literature that I've read and, you know, heard from a lot of you in conversations and stuff like that. But what's really cool is to have this physical symbol, this physical representative of the same thing. And I don't have enough time. I was going to show you how we can do that, but I'll show you another time. But the principle is there where, look, this person is trying to kill you, all right? And, you know that. You're aware of the fact that they're trying to kill you. But even though they're trying to kill you, you don't respond by killing them. You respond by redirecting the attack and keeping them from attacking you, but not harming the person who's attacking you, not killing the attacker, all right? And so this has been important for me in my personal journey because I attack myself. I attack myself all the time. And it's very easy for me to fight against me and to, be mad at myself for attacking myself. the Golem Smeagol dynamic, that's me all the time. I am Golem Smeagol, all right? Learning how to honor the fact that even though I'm attacking myself, I don't have to kill myself has been very life-changing for me. And trying to acknowledge that when I'm attacking myself, it's not necessarily me attacking me. My true self doesn't attack people or try to hurt people. The me that's attacking me are all of the negative scripts, the sin, the negative things that are in our world that we end up internalizing and confusing as ourselves. And it's not us. It's not the us that God has built, that God created. It's something that's been attached. And so I'm learning to separate the false self that's always trying to attack me from the true self who's trying to be at peace, who's trying to be connected with God. And when my false self attacks myself, I don't hate it. All right? I don't hate Golem. Okay? I'm trying to take care of Golem. Even though Golem is nasty, and even though he's attacking me, I'm still trying to take care of him, okay? I'm still interested in his well-being because, again, I am Golem, all right? So with that being said, this is vitally important because the dance that we do with ourselves ends up moving outside of ourselves into the people that are close to us. So if you don't know how to deal with the attacks inside of yourself and resolve those, keeping, Golem safe and taking care of his well-being, then your friends, when their golems come out and attack you, well, then you might end up responding in the same way without taking care of them. And so my challenge to you all is, in spite of the fact that people are attacking you, to try to care for them and be interested in their well-being. And even for yourself, if you attack yourself, to be vested in the well-being of yourself in spite of the fact that you attack yourself, okay? And so now to talk about tools of how this can be done. How can you do it? Well, one of the scriptures that Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, right? Yeah, safe to say. Whatever, he wrote it tonight. He shares some of his Golem Smeagol process. And again, for sake of time, I'll read through it. I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I've received so that I wouldn't be conceited. It's a messenger from Satan sent to torment me so that I wouldn't be conceited. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times for it to leave me alone. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest on me. Therefore, I'm all right with weakness, insults, disasters, harassments, and stressful situations for the sake of Christ, because when I am weak, I'm strong." All right. So, you know, he sounded kind of conceited to me in that. Did y'all pick up on that? Like, I got these great revelations, so I need to have this thorn to keep me level-headed, because if I didn't have this thorn, boy, I'd be a rock star, you know? But what I read from it within this context is that the fact that he recognizes that he needs humility, that if he doesn't have humility, then he's not doing God's work, that he's not doing God's will, that he needs to remain humble, and it's important for him to remain humble, and that's a focus for him. And then in addition to that, I would add that we need faith, all right? And faith in the fact that God is concerned about our well-being and that he's concerned about the well-being of those around us. I loved so much. I didn't know the songs that the team was going to play tonight, and many of their songs were just talking about how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, and, you know, how, you know, just God the Father caring about his children. And I love that, because when I'm quiet, when I'm focusing on God, that's what I hear. I don't hear the voice that says, "Man, Julius, I gave you all this great stuff, and look at what you're doing. You suck." You know what I mean? That's not what I hear from God when I'm quiet and listening. I hear stuff like this. And then finally, what I'll add to it is discipline. And so the discipline comes in because if we're not aware of our rifles, if we're not aware of the things that are in us but not us, that make us shoot ourselves and make us hurt ourselves and all this kind of stuff, well, then we are going to do that to other people. And so I know many of you, and something that I do is to be aware of the rifles. We might not have it completely managed. We might not have it completely uprooted. We might not have it completely gone. It might still be there, but if you're aware of it, well, then you can actively work to not shoot the people around you all the time. And that takes work. It takes discipline. It takes a concerted effort to manage these things that are so deeply embedded inside of ourselves. And that's where the discipline comes in. Your care for yourself and your care for those around you has to be stronger than the roots and the anchors of the ugly stuff that's been implanted in you all of your life. All right? And then going back to the poem, it's up to the folks with the rifles, letting the rifles fall from their shoulders, that makes it possible for the children to be able to be in a place where they can dress dolls instead of having to worry about all this other drama. And it enables the aged to walk into evenings of peace, whether that be physically on the earth because it's safe enough to walk at night, or walking into their death with peace because of the fact that we've been able to let the rifles down and we don't live in a community that's filled with violence and shooting all the time, but we live in a peaceful environment, a peaceful community. All right, so that's my talk. I've got about 5 minutes or so for talk back.